Sermon title today is The Sabbath Uphill. I guess you might call it more like a seminar. And I like to read a quotation to begin with. And I'd like you to think about who might be the author of this quotation that I'm going to read. And I've got four choices for you right now. So just think about this. Could this quotation that I'm going to read here shortly be from Herbert W. Armstrong? Could it be from John Hughes, the Archbishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese in New York? Or could it be, another choice, the United Church of God? In our booklet entitled Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest. And the other choice is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In its publication entitled The Biblical Sabbath, The Adventist Perspective. So those are the four choices. So let me go ahead and read this quotation to you. The command of Almighty God stands clearly written in the Bible in these words from Exodus 20, verse 8 through 10. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. It goes on. And again, Exodus 35, 2 through 3 says the following. And again, I'm quoting from this writer, and he's quoting scripture. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you. A day of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. How strict and precise is God's commandment? No work whatsoever was to be done on the day which God had chosen to set apart for himself and to make holy. He required of his people that they should not even light a fire on that day. And in Numbers 15:32, it says, Now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Verse 35. Then the Lord said to Moses, The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. Such being God's command, I then ask you again, why do you not obey it? Why do you not keep holy the Sabbath day? You will answer me, perhaps, that you do keep holy the Sabbath day, for that you abstain from all your worldly business and diligently go to church and say your prayers and read your Bible at home every Sunday of your lives. But Sunday is not the Sabbath day. Sunday is the first day of the week. The Sabbath day was the seventh day of the week. God Almighty named his own day and said distinctly, you shall keep holy the seventh day. And he assigned a reason for choosing this day rather than any other, a reason which belongs only to the seventh day of the week and cannot be applied to the rest. He says in Genesis 2, verse 2 through 3, And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Almighty God ordered that all men should rest from their labor on the seventh day, because he too had rested on that day. He did not rest on Sunday, but on Saturday. On Sunday, which is the first day of the week, he began the work of creation. He did not finish it. It was on Saturday that he ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Well, nothing can be more plain and easy to understand than all this. And there is nobody who attempts to deny it. It is acknowledged by everybody that the day which Almighty God appointed to be kept holy was Saturday, not Sunday. Why do you then keep holy Sunday and not Saturday. So then again, which individuals or institutions, as I mentioned, you know, wrote this material? Was it Herbert W. Armstrong? Was it John Hughes, Archbishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese, Archdiocese of New York? Was it the United Church of God in our booklet entitled Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest? Or was it the Seventh-day Adventist Church in their publication entitled The Biblical Sabbath, The Adventist Perspective? Well, you don't have to raise your hands, but I'll give you the answer. It was not Herbert W. Armstrong. It was not the United Church of God. And it was not the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It was published by the Archbishop John Hughes of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of New York. In an article entitled, Why Don't You Keep Holy the Sabbath Day?, published in 1869 in Volume 4 of the Clifton Tracts of the Brotherhood of St. Vincent de Paul, this was done under the sanction of the Archbishop of New York by the P.J. Kennedy Excelsior Catholic Publishing House, New York, New York. And I have a copy of that right here. It was published in 1869, and I just read from that publication, published by the Archbishop of New York, John Hughes. Now you may say, well, how is this possible? How is it possible that the Roman Catholic Church can defend and support the Sabbath in this way? How is that possible? Well, before answering that question, I'd like to read another paragraph from this same article. Why don't you keep holy the Sabbath day? You will tell me that Saturday was the Jewish Sabbath. But that the Christian Sabbath has been changed to Sunday. Changed! But by whom? Who has the authority to change an express commandment of God? When God has spoken and said, you shall keep holy the Sabbath day, who shall dare to say, no, you may work and do all your manner of worldly business on the seventh day, but you shall keep holy the first day in its stead? So, again, we've read some very interesting quotations here so far today. Again, from a Roman Catholic archbishop, no less. And again, the archbishop is right below the cardinals. And right above the cardinals is the Pope. So you cannot hardly get much higher than an archbishop in the Catholic Church. And he wrote this material, approved it. Why is he defending the Sabbath? Well, the article in question is directed toward Protestants. Again, this was a while back, and we don't hear that kind of confrontation today. This was done quite a long time ago, as you know. Of course, Protestants claim that they get all their beliefs from the Bible. And they claim to follow the Bible and the Bible alone while rejecting tradition. That's what they claim. So this article carefully discredits their argument by pointing out the very scriptures that Protestants use in their attempt to show that the Bible command to observe the seventh-day Sabbath has been abolished. So they use the same scriptures that the Protestants use. And then the Catholics defend the Sabbath. What a crazy situation this seems to be, isn't it? Well, to help us understand more about this, I'd like to continue reading from this very interesting publication. Also, in doing so, let's discover how the Catholics themselves justify keeping Sunday. How is it possible they defend the Sabbath, but then turn it right around and observe Sunday? How is that possible? We're going to take a look at that. So I'm going to keep reading here from this article. Why don't you keep holy the Sabbath day? Well, this is a most important question, which I know not how you can answer. You are a Protestant, and you profess to go by the Bible and the Bible alone, and yet In so important a matter as the observance of one day and seven as a holy day, you go against the plain letter of the Bible and put another day in its place of that day which the Bible has commanded. The command to keep holy the seventh day is one of the Ten Commandments. Ye believe that the other nine are still binding, but who gave you the authority to tamper with the fourth? If you are consistent with your own principles, if you really follow the Bible and the Bible only, you ought to be able to produce some portion of the New Testament in which this fourth commandment is expressly altered, or at least from which you may confidently infer that it was the will of God that Christians should make that day in its observance which you have made. Well, let us see whether any such passages can be found. I will look for them in the writings of your champions who have attempted to defend your practice in this manner. The first text is that of St. Paul in Colossians 2:16, who says, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths." I could understand a Bible Christian arguing from this passage that we ought to make no difference between Saturday, Sunday, and every other day of the week, that under the Christian dispensation, all such distinctions of days were done away with. One day was as good and holy as another. There were to be no Sabbaths, no holy days at all. But not one syllable does it say about the obligation of the Sabbath being transferred from one day to another. Secondly, the words of St. Paul, St. John in Revelation 1 verse 10 says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Is it possible that anybody can for a moment imagine that there here is a safe and clear rule for changing the weekly feast from the seventh to the first day? This passage is utterly silent upon such a subject. Next, we are reminded that St. Paul bade his Corinthian converts in 1 Corinthians 16:2, "On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." How is this supposed to affect the law of the Jewish Sabbath? It commands a certain act of almsgiving to be done on the first day of the week, but it says absolutely nothing about not doing certain other acts of prayer and public worship on the seventh day. Also in Acts 20 verse 7 is the example of the apostles themselves. It reads, "Upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them ready to depart on the morrow and continued his speech until midnight." Here we have clear proof that the disciples came together and that they heard a sermon on Sunday, but is there any proof that they had not done the same on the Saturday also? It is absolutely impossible that a reasonable and thoughtful person should believe by the text that I have quoted that the Almighty God intended the obligation of Saturday to be transferred to Sunday. And yet Protestants do so transfer it and never seem to have the slightest misgivings. Why is this? Because although they talk so largely about following the Bible and the Bible only, they are really guided in this matter by the voice of tradition. Yes, they have in fact no other authority to allege for this most important change. The present generation of Protestants keep Sunday holy instead of Saturday. Why? Because they received it as part of the Christian religion from the last generation. And that generation received it from the generation before, and so on backwards from one generation to another by a continual succession until we come to the time of the so-called Reformation. You keep Sunday and not Saturday, and you do so rightly. For this was the practice of all Christians when Protestantism began. But you have abandoned other Catholic observances which were equally universal at that day. So isn't that incredible? I mean, you think about what you just read, what you just heard. Think about how strange that does sound. So again, here is a Catholic Church, official Catholic Church publication, rightly pointing out that the Bible nowhere transfers Saturday worship to Sunday. Nowhere, it's not found in the Bible, and they admit that, and they show that. It shows that the only reason Protestants worship on Sunday is due to that long-standing tradition that was passed down from generation to generation. Now, let's read on in this article, the same article, to learn just how and why the Catholics themselves justify teaching their tradition of keeping Sunday. Again, writing to the Protestants, the article goes on to say, "We blame you not for making Sunday your weekly holy day instead of Saturday, but for rejecting tradition, which is the only safe and clear rule by which this observance can be justified. In outward act, we," again he's referring to the Catholic Church here, "in outward act, we do the same as yourselves in this matter. We too no longer observe the Jewish Sabbath." See, they call it the Jewish Sabbath. The Bible never doesn't say that, does it? God's Sabbath day. But they call it the Jewish Sabbath here. Going on, it says, "but Sunday in its stead." But then there is this important difference between us. We do not pretend, as you do, to derive our authority for doing so from a book. But we derive it from a living teacher, and that teacher is the Church. Moreover, we believe that not everything which God would have us to know and do is written in the Bible. And there is also an unwritten word of God, which we are bound to believe and obey. Just as we believe and obey the Bible according to that saying of the apostles in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle." We Catholics, then, have precisely the same authority for keeping Sunday holy instead of Saturday as we have for every other article of our creed, namely, the authority of the Church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's from 1 Timothy 3:15. Whereas you who are Protestants have really no authority for it whatever, for there is no authority for it in the Bible, and you will not allow that there can be an authority for it anywhere else. Both you and we do, in fact, follow tradition in this matter, but we follow it believing it to be part of God's word and the Church to be its divinely appointed guardian and interpreter. Well, this Roman Catholic publication, again, remarkably supports the true biblical teaching that nowhere does it teach the abrogation or the dissolution of the Sabbath day or change of it in any way. As stated, the Catholic Church does not make any pretense of receiving all its beliefs out of the Bible. So it just simply follows tradition, and it has a belief that was given to them through Jesus Christ to the apostles. And there's many reasons why they do that. We don't have time to go through that today. In fact, we did go through that not too long ago in a sermon. We discussed the Catholic Church and, you know, quite a bit of that and reasoning why they use tradition. We went into all those details, so we won't go into that now. You know, but some may say, well, listen, you know, this article, that's such an old article. I mean, come on, you know, written in 1869, 130 years ago or so. The Catholic Church certainly can't be believing that today anymore. Let's take a look at some rather recent quotation. You know, the Catholic Church is a very old church. So 1869, is not that long ago in history for them. So, but let's take a look at some more recent quotations that basically support what we just read, heard as well. And these are some of the quotations that you'll find in your handout when you take that home and look at it later if you like. The first one is from the St. Catherine Catholic Church Sentinel newsletter from Agoniac, Michigan, May 21st, 1995, not very long ago. Perhaps the boldest thing, the most revolutionary change the church ever did, happened in the first century. The holy day, the Sabbath, was changed from Saturday to Sunday. The day of the Lord was chosen not from any direction noted in the scriptures, but from the church's sense of its own power. People who think that the scriptures should be the sole authority should logically become Seventh-day Adventists and keep Saturday holy. Now here's something else. This is the New Advent Catholic Encyclopedia, the Internet edition. This was a 2002 article entitled Sunday, the Day of the Sun. We find Saint Caesarius of Arlisle in the 6th century teaching that the holy doctors of the church had decreed that the whole glory of the Jewish Sabbath had been transferred to the Sunday, and that the Christians must keep Sunday holy in the same way as the Jews had been commanded to keep holy the Sabbath day. The obligation of rest from work on Sunday remained somewhat indefinite for several centuries. Get that? Several centuries was kind of indefinite. Was it Sunday? Was it Saturday? It remained that way for a while. A council of Laodicea held toward the end of the 4th century was content to prescribe that the Lord's Day, the faithful were to abstain from work as far as possible. So they wanted to rule on this. The beginning of the 6th century, St. Caesarius, as we have seen, and others showed an inclination to apply the law of the Jewish Sabbath to the observance of the Christian Sunday. So there's an inclination. It was very, you know, kind of unclear for several centuries. So they had this ruling, and, you know, the things started moving in that direction a little bit more, with more fanfare, I guess you might say. So, although the Catholic Church in recent years, you know, again, as I mentioned, they've downplayed the differences between the Catholic and Protestant sides of things. You know, they're becoming more ecumenical. They're trying to kind of, you know, bring unity to the Christian movement in the world. But their beliefs have not fundamentally changed at all. Here are some more quotations. The apostolic letter, Dei Domini, the day predominant, this was from Pope John Paul II. It was written to the bishops, clergy, and faithful of the Catholic Church on keeping the Lord's Day, Sunday, holy. This was written May 31st, 1998, not that long ago. And we quote here, Jesus as Lord of the Sabbath, Mark 2:28, restores to the Sabbath observance its liberating character, carefully safeguarding the rights of God and the rights of man. This is why Christians, called as they are to proclaim the liberation won by the blood of Christ, felt that they had the authority, felt like they had the authority to transfer the meaning of the Sabbath to the day of the resurrection. They felt like it. An Eastern writer at the beginning of the 3rd century recounts that as early as then, the faithful of every region were keeping Sunday holy on a regular basis. What began as a spontaneous practice, get that, later became a judiciously sanctioned norm. Again, it was very unclear for a while, for centuries, and then finally the Catholic Church ruled on this. Okay, most people are keeping Sunday, so, well, I guess we'll just make it the Lord's Day. Let's take a look at some more reasoning why the Catholic Church believes that they can do this, that they can make changes like this. The Catholic Record, London, Ontario, September 1st, 1923. Sunday is our mark of authority. The Church is above the Bible. And this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. Church is above the Bible? Okay. Here's another quotation. The Catholic Press, Sydney, Australia, August 1900. Sunday is a Catholic institution, and its claim to observance can be defended only on Catholic principles. From beginning to end of Scripture, there is not a single passage that warrants the transfer of weekly public worship from the last day of the week to the first. And yet, here they are, keeping Sunday, because they feel they have the authority to do that. The Roman Catholic theologian John O'Brien wrote the book entitled The Faith of Millions, 1938. I'm going to quote shortly here from page 421. And his book was a bestseller during that day. 200,000 copies were sold in 1945. And it was reprinted in 27 editions, translated into 10 languages. And John O'Brien taught at the University of Illinois for 22 years. Again, a Catholic theologian, very smart individual, obviously. But he wrote this: but since Saturday, not Sunday, is specified in the Bible, isn't it curious that non-Catholics who profess to take their religion directly from the Bible and not from the Church observe Sunday instead of Saturday? Yes, of course, it is inconsistent. But the change was made about 15 centuries before Protestantism was born. He continues, they have continued to observe the custom even though it rests upon the authority of the Catholic Church and not upon an explicit text in the Bible. That observance remains the remainder of the Mother Church, a reminder of the Mother Church from which non-Catholic sects broke away. It's like a boy running away from his mother, but still carrying in his pocket a picture of her or a lock of her hair. I thought that was very well put. Bishop Louis L. Morrow, he was the bishop of West Bengal, Bangladesh. He wrote a book entitled My Catholic Faith. And if you remember, that's the book that I brought. I'm sure you all remember that perfectly well. And that. I'm just kidding. But, I was a Catholic, so I had this book from my youth. This book was written in 1961. I was 11 at that time. I'm going to quote here from page 213. Catholics keep holy the first day of the week, Sunday. It is called the Lord's Day. The Church commands us to keep Sunday as the Lord's Day, because on Sunday Christ rose from the dead, and on Sunday the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles. See the reasoning there? It's not out of the Bible. It's just, well, we just saw these things and we use them as a reason for us doing what we do. Again, they really don't even need the Bible. They just use their own authority to make changes. Henry Tuberville wrote in a book entitled An Abridgment of Christian Doctrine. This was written in 1833. And it's like a sort of a catechism. Here's a question. How prove you that the Church has power to command feasts and holy days? The answer, by the very act of changing the Sabbath into Sunday, of which Protestants allow, And therefore, they fondly contradict themselves by keeping Sunday strictly and breaking most other feasts commanded by the same church. Also, in another quotation, a letter from J.L. Day of Thomason, Georgia, to Pope Pius XII. This was written May 22, 1954. Dear sir, is the accusation true that Protestants accuse you of? They say you changed the seventh-day Sabbath to the so-called Christian Sunday, identical with the first day of the week. If so, when did you make this change and by what authority? The reply was from Peter R. Tramer, the editor of the Catholic Extension magazine in Chicago, Illinois. This was done under the blessing of Pope Pius XII. And I quote here, "Dear sir," he's writing back to this man, "regarding the change from the observance to the Jewish Sabbath to the Christian Sunday, I wish to draw your attention to the facts that Protestants who accept the Bible as the only rule of faith and religion should by all means go back to the observance of the Sabbath." Okay, if you're going to keep, you say all your beliefs come out of the Bible, then you should be keeping the Sabbath day, in other words. And he goes on, he says, "The fact that they do not, but on the contrary, observe Sunday, stultifies or deadens them in the eyes of every thinking man. We Catholics do not accept the Bible as the only rule of faith. Besides the Bible, we have the living church, the authority of the church, as a rule to guide us. We say this church, instituted by Christ to teach and guide men through life, has the right to change the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, and hence we accept her change of the Sabbath to Sunday. We frankly say, yes, the church made this change, made this law, as she made many other laws, for instance, the Friday abstinence, the unmarried priesthood, the laws concerning mixed marriages, the regulation of Catholic marriages, and 1,000 other laws. We also say that of all Protestants, the Seventh-day Adventists are the only group that reason correctly and are consistent with their teachings. It is always somewhat laughable to see the Protestant churches and pulpit and legislature demand the observance of Sundays, of which there is nothing in the Bible. Let's go on. Thought I was done. No. Martin J. Scott, a Jesuit priest, wrote a book entitled All Things Catholics Are Asked About. 1927, I quote from page 136. Nowhere in the Bible is it stated that worship should be changed from Saturday to Sunday. Not now, the church, instituted by God's authority, Sunday is as the day of worship. The church did this. This same church, by the same divine authority, taught the doctrine of purgatory long before the Bible was made. We have, therefore, the same authority for purgatory as we have for Sunday. And now, if you remember our discussion about purgatory and how that just, or no, that just came out of the minds of some theologian somewhere, has no support anywhere. Certainly not in the Bible, and we went through that, if you remember. Let's go on here. Thomas Enright, a priest, a Redemptorist priest, and president of the Redemptorist College of Kansas City, Missouri, gave a lecture at Hartford, Kansas, February 18, 1884. His remarks were printed in the Hartford, Kansas Weekly Call, February 22, 1884, and were later reprinted in the American Sentinel, a New York Roman Catholic Journal, June 1893. So let me quote... Let me basically preface his quotation. We're going to take a look at it in just a minute with a little bit of background. In the late 1800s, Thomas Enright, this priest, traveled around the central United States, and he held lectures challenging anyone to produce one single text out of the Bible, stating that Sunday is the only day of weekly worship. And he regularly offered people $1,000 to anybody who could present him with a text from the scriptures to prove this. And again, that was a lot of money back in that day. That today that would equal, I don't know, $10,000, $15,000, maybe more. I don't know. But he wasn't afraid to offer it at all. He was a very strong-minded individual, public speaker, and he constantly challenged Protestants to return to the mother church. You know, they were straying away, and he wanted to get them back. We don't hear that kind of thing today. But back then, it was a little different world. So let me have you take a look at his quotation. He said, "I have repeatedly offered $1,000 to anyone who can prove to me from the Bible and the Bible alone that I am bound to keep Sunday holy. There is no such law in the Bible. It is a law of the Holy Catholic Church alone. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Catholic Church says, no, by my divine power, I abolish the Sabbath day and command you to keep holy the first day of the week. And lo, the entire civilized world bows down in reverent obedience to the command of the Holy Catholic Church." Let's continue. The Catholic Virginian, this is the newspaper of the Catholic Diocese of Richmond, Virginia. Again, a newspaper right from the top, Catholic Diocese of Richmond, Virginia, 1947. This article appeared in there. I'm going to quote from it here. "Nowhere in the Bible do we find that Jesus or the apostles ordered the Sabbath be changed from Saturday to Sunday. We have the commandment of God given to Moses to keep holy the Sabbath day. That is the seventh day of the week, Saturday. Today, most Christians keep Sunday because it has been revealed to us by the Roman Catholic Church outside the Bible." Want some more? Let's continue then. I'm just kidding here. Albert Smith, Chancellor of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, replying for the Cardinal in a letter, February 10th, 1920. "If Protestants would follow the Bible, they should worship God on the Sabbath day. In keeping Sunday, they are following a law of the Catholic Church." Time after time after time. Look at what they're saying here. Let's take a look at another one. Stephen Kennett, a doctrinal catechism. He wrote this catechism. You know, when I was in the Catholic Church, they had the catechism and we studied that. Remember I mentioned I went to Catholic Confraternity of Christian Doctrine classes when I was in high school, when I was out of the Catholic grade school. We went there every week, went through the catechism, studied these things. Priest taught us all these things. And so catechism, maybe this is the catechism I was reading at the time. I don't remember it. But it says here, he wrote this. Again, in 18, I guess it probably was a newer catechism by this time, 1876. Here's a question. In the catechisms, they ask questions and they answer them for you. "Have you not any other way of proving that the church has power to institute festivals of precept? Had she not such power, she could not have done that which all modern religionists agree with her. She could not have substituted the observance of Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day, a change for which there is no scriptural authority." Let's continue. James Cardinal Gibbons, he wrote a very popular book, The Faith of Our Fathers, 1917 edition. James Cardinal Gibbons was the Archbishop of Baltimore, Maryland. Again, very close to the top. And I quote here for you. You may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctified. And I know you, we have used this passage, this quotation, in many publications in the past. You may recognize it. He wrote another book entitled The Catholic Mirror, September 23, 1893. He said in this, the Catholic Church for over 1,000 years before the existence of a Protestant, by virtue of her divine mission, changed the day from Saturday to Sunday. And then James Cardinal Gibbons did a lot of writing in his book entitled Autograph Letter, James Gibbons' Autograph Letter. It's sort of like a catechism in a way. This question was asked. Is Saturday the seventh day according to the Bible and the Ten Commandments? I answer yes. Is Sunday the first day of the week? Did the church change the seventh day Saturday for Sunday, the first day? I answer yes. Did Christ change the day? I answer no. John Lax, a course in religion for Catholic high schools and academies, 1936, quote, some theologians have held that God likewise directly determined the Sunday as the day of worship in the new law, that he himself has explicitly substituted Sunday for the Sabbath. But this theory is entirely abandoned. It is now commonly held that God simply gave his church the power to set aside whatever day or days she would deem suitable as holy days. The church chose Sunday, the first day of the week, and in the course of time added other days as holy days. Peter Gehrman, A Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine, 1946, page 50, and Gehrman received the apostolic blessing of Pope Pius X for his labors on January 25, 1910. Here's a question. Which is the day, the Sabbath day? Saturday is the Sabbath day. Why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? We observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church and the Council of Laodicea, remember I mentioned that earlier, AD 336, transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. By legislature, the Catholic Church made that decision. Monsignor Louis Segur, Plain Talk About Protestantism of Today, 1868, he said this, and I quote, the observance of Sunday by the Protestants is an homage they pay, in spite of themselves, to the authority of the Catholic Church. Let's continue. A couple more here in this section. John Gilmary Shea, American Catholic Quarterly Review, January 1883. Quote, Protestantism in disregarding the authority of the church has no good reasons for its Sunday theory and ought logically to keep Saturday as the Sabbath. The Catholic Universe Bulletin was published by the Archdiocese of Cleveland, Ohio, August 14, 1942. And I quote from page 4, the church changed the observance of the Sabbath to Sunday by right of divine, infallible authority given to her by her founder, Jesus Christ. The Protestant, claiming the Bible to be the only guide of faith has no warrant for observing Sunday. In this manner, the Seventh-day Adventist is the only consistent Protestant. And finally, Pope Leo XIII, in an encyclical letter, The Reunion of Christendom, June 20, 1894, this was translated in the great encyclical letters of Pope Leo XIII. This is from page 304. He says this, We hold upon this earth the place of Almighty God. Let that sink in for a moment. So, you know, we can see through all these quotations from all these Catholic leaders, theologians, the reason why the Catholic Church observes Sunday as the day of worship. And that's only through their authority, which they feel they have. And again, we know that does not come from the scriptures. Remember, they said the church is above the Bible. Well, you know, we know that that is not correct. But why do Protestants themselves say about this matter? Now, they've quoted many times that some Protestants are saying that they keep Sunday, and they try to find reasons for it. But on the other hand, are there Protestants who believe what we just were reading, that the Sabbath is a holy day? And a lot of these quotations I'm going to read to you support that. How do they look upon the seventh-day Sabbath? Let's take a look at various churches' quotations from various different denominations. Start with the Anglicans. Isaac Williams, he wrote a book entitled Plain Sermons on the Catechism, Volume 1, page 334. He said this, And where are we told in the Scriptures that we are to keep the first day at all? We are commanded to keep the seventh. But we are nowhere commanded to keep the first day. The reason why we keep the first of the week holy instead of the seventh is for the same reason we observe many other things. Not because of the Bible, but because the church has enjoined or commanded it. So there are some that see the truth and they pronounce it. Take a look at another one. The Episcopal Church, Bishop Seymour, in a book entitled Why We Keep Sunday. We have made the church change from the seventh day to the first day, from the Saturday to Sunday, on the authority of the one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. About the Baptists, Dr. Edward T. Hiscock wrote the Baptist Manual. This paper was read before a New York Ministers Conference, Baptist Ministers Conference, November 13, 1893, and was reported in the New York Examiner, November 16, 1893. They said this, there was and is a commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day, but that Sabbath day was not on Sunday. It will be said, however, that with some show of triumph, that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh to the first day of the week, with all its duties, privileges, and sanctions. Earnestly desiring information on this subject, which I have studied for many years, I ask, where can the record of such a transference be found? Not in the New Testament. Absolutely not. There is no scriptural evidence of a change of the Sabbath institution from the seventh to the first day of the week. I wish to say that this Sabbath question, in this aspect of it, is the gravest and most perplexing question connected with Christian institutions, which at present claims attention from Christian people. The only reason that it is not more a disturbing element in Christian thought and in religious discretion is because the Christian world has settled down, content on the conviction that somehow a transference has taken place at the beginning of the Christian history. To me, it seems unaccountable that Jesus, during the 3 years' discussion with his disciples, never allowed to any transference of the day. Also, during 40 days of his resurrected life, no such thing was intimated. Nor, as far as we know, did the Spirit, which was given to bring their to the remembrance all things whatsoever they had said until them, deal with this question. Nor yet did the inspired apostles in preaching the gospel, founding churches, counseling, and instruction, discuss or approach the subject. So they're being very honest about this. William Owen Carver, Ph.D., wrote a book entitled The Lord's Day in One Day, page 49. I'll quote from, he was a Southern Baptist Theological Seminary from there in Louisville, Kentucky. He said this, there was never any formal or authoritative change from the Jewish seventh day to the Christian first day observance. Let's move on to another a church denomination, the Congregationalist. Timothy Dwight, in sermon number 107, this is from 1818, he was the author, gave this sermon, and he was the president of Yale University from 1795 to 1817. He wrote this, the Christian Sabbath Sunday is not in the scripture. It was not by the primitive early Christian church called the Sabbath. Sunday was never called the Sabbath. We'll stick with the Congregationalists and we'll turn to R.W. Dale. Dr. R.W. Dale wrote a book entitled The Ten Commandments, page 127 through 129. He was, we'll be quoting from, Dr. Dale was a minister at Cars Lane Congregational Church, Birmingham, Alabama. And this is his quotation. It is quite clear that however rigidly or devotedly we may spend Sunday, we are not keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath was founded on a specific divine command. We can plead no such command for the obligation to observe Sunday. There is not a single sentence in the New Testament to suggest that we incur any penalty by violating the supposed sanctity of Sunday. Now let's move on to the Presbyterians. Thaddeus Constantine Blake, he was a minister from 1825 to 1896, lived that long. He wrote a book entitled Theology Condensed, and this is from page 475. The Sabbath is a part of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. This alone forever settles the question as to the perpetuity of the institution. Until, therefore, it can be shown that the whole moral law has been repealed, the Sabbath will stand. The teaching of Christ confirms the perpetuity of the Sabbath. Let's move on to the disciples of Christ. Alexander Campbell wrote the Christian Baptist, February 2nd, 1824, volume 1, number 7. We quote from that, if it, the Sabbath, exists, let us observe it. And if it does not exist, let us abandon a mock observance of another day for it. But some may say, it was changed from the seventh to the first day. Where? When? And by whom? No, it was never changed. It is all an old wives' tale to talk of a change of the Sabbath from the seventh to the first day. The first day of the week is commonly called the Sabbath. This is a mistake. He's being very strong about this, as you can see. And he says this in another book entitled First Day Observance, page 17 and 19. The Sabbath of the Bible was the day just preceding the first day of the week. The first day of the week is never called the Sabbath anywhere in the entire scriptures. is also an error to talk about a change of the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. There is not in any place in the Bible any intimation of such a change. Let's move on to the Episcopal Church now. Philip Carrington. He was the Anglican bishop, Archbishop of Quebec, Canada. And this was quoted, the quote we're going to read here is from the Toronto Daily Star, October 26, 1949. The Bible commandment says, on the seventh day you shall rest. That is Saturday. Nowhere in the Bible is it laid down that worship should be done on Sunday. Now, what about the Lutherans? John Theodor Miller, he was a Lutheran Missouri Synod pastor and educator. He's the author of a book entitled Sabbath or Sundays, from page 15. But they err in teaching that Sunday has taken the place of the Old Testament Sabbath, and therefore must be kept as the seventh day. These churches err in their teaching, for Scripture has in no way ordained the first day of the week in place of the Sabbath. There is simply no law in the New Testament to that effect. Dr. Augustus Nylander, he's also Lutheran. He wrote a book entitled The History of the Christian Religion. This is quoting from page 186. The festival of Sunday, like all other festivals, is only a human ordinance. And it was far from the intentions of the apostles to establish a divine command in this respect. Far from them and from the early apostolic church to transfer the laws of the Sabbath to Sunday. So one after another, honesty, we're seeing it right here from the mouths of Protestants. How about the Methodist Church? Amos Binney, Theological Compendium, 1902 edition, page 180, I quote from. It is true that there is no positive command for keeping holy the first day of the week. Many believe that Christ changed the Sabbath. But from his own words, we see that he came for no such purpose. Those who believe that Jesus changed the Sabbath base it only on a supposition. Harris Franklin Rawl. He wrote in the Christian Advocate, this is July 2nd, 1942, take the matter of Sunday. There are indications in the New Testament as to how the church came to keep the first day of the week as its day of worship, but there is no passage telling Christians to keep that day or to transfer the Jewish Sabbath to that day. Now, you've heard of the Moody Bible Institute, no doubt. Dwight L. Moody, he wrote a book entitled Weighed and Wanting, 1898. He was the founder of the Moody Bible Institute, again, in Chicago, Illinois, and still in effect today, still strong, still going operation up there. Quoting here from page 46 and 47, Dwight L. Moody wrote this. He said, I honestly believe that this Sabbath commandment is just as binding today as it ever was. I have talked with men who have said that it has been abrogated, but they have never been able to point to any place in the Bible where God repealed it. When Christ was on earth, he did nothing to set it aside. He freed it from the traces under which the scribes and Pharisees had put it, and he gave it its true place. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, Mark 2:27. It is just as practicable and as necessary for men today as it ever was. In fact, more than ever, because we live in such an intense age. The Sabbath day, the seventh-day Sabbath was binding at Eden, and it has been in force ever since. The fourth commandment, Exodus 20:8-11, begins with the words, remember showing that the Sabbath had already existed before God when God wrote the law on the tables of stone at Sinai. How can men claim that this one commandment has been done away with when they admit that the other nine are still binding? Good question. And finally, one last quotation. This is from Dr. Harold Lester. He's the editor of Christianity Today. This was published November 5th, 1976. Not that long ago, really. There is nothing in Scripture that requires us to keep Sunday rather than Saturday as a holy day. So after reading all these quotations today, these various teachers and leaders of these churches and the Catholic Church and these Protestants, now where does that leave us today? I mean, don't these quotations stand in stark praise and honor and testimony to the very things that we believe? And some of the same very teachings that we have taught down through the years have been supported in many of these quotations that we read here today. They confirm our beliefs. They support them. Not that we need outside support to do that. We just have to read the Scriptures. But it's nice to see that there are others out there in Christendom who have understood these truths, that the Sabbath is commanded to keep. These noted authorities, some of them high-level authorities, acknowledge that there's absolutely no scriptural authority to change the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. Yet, it was changed by the Catholic Church. I mean, they felt like they had that opportunity, that they had that authority, rather, to do that. They had the power to make that change. So, you know, I don't have a lot of time. We're not going to spend a lot of time today. I wanted to just give you this information, but we're going to take a look at a few scriptures now. I'm not going to spend a lot of time supporting the Sabbath. That would be from the Scriptures. That would be for another time. But let's take a look at a few Scriptures and to see that God's Word stands firm. And here's a command really for all of us, for all people, all generations. Exodus 31, verse 13 says this, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord God who sanctifies you." So God provided his Sabbaths as a day of rest, that we know. But it's also a sign. It's a way to identify his people. In other words, people, if a person says that he knows God and yet he's not keeping the Sabbath, does he really? Does he really know God if he's not keeping the Sabbath? Ezekiel 20, verse 12 says this, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them, who sets them apart. I identify them through this day. They show me they're there, they love me, they want to do my will." So as we've seen, history records how the church, you know, early 4th century changed the time for weekly worship from Saturday to Sunday. The Catholic Church did that. But evidence in the New Testament is that the early Christians continued to worship on the biblical seventh day. Remember, as I said, it was very unclear. It kind of shifted back and forth, Saturday, Sunday. That went on for centuries until the church finally ruled on that. So, you know, it really never crossed anybody's mind that we should keep Sunday. I mean, at first, people were keeping the Sabbath day. You know, even the Gentile churches that Paul raised up, they kept Saturday, the Sabbath day. Toward the end of his ministry, the Apostle Paul claimed in Acts 25, verse 8, don't need to turn there, that he said this, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all." Paul said that. So the seventh day Sabbath was central to the law of God. So if there had been a change from Sabbath to Sunday, it would have caused a huge commotion in the church. I mean, in the Jewish world at that time. Never happened. I don't know if you remember back in 95, there was some discussion about this whole thing. I remember we were discussing that with an elder who finally did leave at that time. And he just wouldn't hear it. You know, he just didn't close his ears to that fact itself there. So, as we've seen, there's not a shred of evidence in the New Testament that any other day, including Sunday, and some were saying, this man was telling us back in Wisconsin Dells years and years ago that he could keep any day holy he wanted to. Remember, I don't know if you remember that. It was going on at that time as well. But there's no shred of evidence in the Scriptures. What is our foundation? It's got to be the Scriptures. There's no replacement for the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is a biblical command. When you think about it, wasn't Sabbath breaking and idolatry one of the major reasons for Israel, ancient Israel, going and Judah going into captivity? Sabbath breaking. Deuteronomy 12, verse 30 says this, "Take heed to yourself, that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will also do likewise." And that's exactly what they did. They started throwing the Sabbath out, observing idols and all of that type of thing. And God just washed his hands of them after sending them prophet after prophet. Finally, they were sent into captivity. They lost all those wonderful blessings. You know, Jesus said in Mark 22, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man. It was made for all people, Jew, Gentile, everyone. So he didn't do away with the Sabbath, we know that. He also said, Christ said in Matthew 12, verse 8, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath? Yes. He was then and he is today. And the early Christians continued to worship, as I mentioned earlier, on the seventh day Sabbath. And they would no way dare to change times and laws. That was left up to somebody else, a false representation of Christianity. And that church grew. It grew and grew, became very powerful. It followed its own dictates. It followed its own traditions. And not God's word. Not God's word. So the Bible's very clear. And God speaks through the pages of the Bible that if we have ears to hear, as it says in John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth." Your word is truth. So that's why we have to stay close to God. We've got to keep our heart and mind. That's all. That says it all in a nutshell right there, I believe. And what does the Bible say about all Scripture from both the Old and the New Testament? 2 Timothy 3:16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." All Scripture includes the Sabbath day. Profitable for instruction in righteousness. Why is that? That the man of God, the women of God, the children of God, the teenagers of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So again, the Catholic Church uses various scriptures, such as Matthew 6:18, to try to prove that the church was given authority by Christ to change whatever it wanted. And again, we don't have time to go into that, but suffice it to say that the church has no authority to do that. It can't change immutable, absolute laws that are found in the Ten Commandments. It has no authority to do that. It can't change the fourth commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day. Jesus Christ says here that the Holy Scriptures are a means to eternal life. He says, John 5, verse 30, 9. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. So this, the Holy Scriptures, we search those and we find our way to eternal life through Jesus Christ, all the things that he points us to. So these and very many, many other scriptures, we don't have time for today, cry aloud to us that the Word of God is true and right. The question is then, do we believe the Bible? I think we do. But many people don't. And we see that people are moving farther and farther and farther away from righteousness today and scriptures. And many people don't know the scriptures. We see that in the news. We see all these decisions that are being made out there. So we know that the truth of God is secure and right. So we don't want to take our chances with fallible men, as people are doing out there in this, what we might call, post-Christian age today. You know, the average person out there today doesn't seem to matter whether they can prove Sunday observance was imposed by a church council 300 years after Christ. Doesn't seem to matter to them. Doesn't seem to matter to them if we can read from Catholic doctrines, which eagerly admit, as we've read, that the Catholic Church itself changed Saturday to Sunday on its own authority. Doesn't seem to matter if they can prove by overwhelming proofs from history that it took centuries for the church to change that observance. It seems to matter. These things are just, well, you know, it's just out there. What is important to people today? What other people say and what tradition says. That seems to be what's important. They're not looking at the foundation, the book that you hold on your laps today. But that's got to be our foundation. So people don't want to stand out. They don't want to look like crazy lunatics, you know, as they might consider us to be. But what are we to do? Are we going to follow people or tradition? Or are we going to follow God and the Word of God? So, to review, the seventh-day Sabbath is commanded for us, not just Jews, but for all people for all time. It's confirmed in the example of Jesus Christ, is it not? It's confirmed by his followers after Christ's death and resurrection. The Apostle Paul taught the Gentiles to keep the Sabbath day. And wherever Paul went, for example, he taught the Sabbath day. It was his custom, as Christ's custom, to keep the Sabbath day and teach on that day. And no example can be found in the writings of the apostles, in the practice of the New Testament church, that shows any hint of change from Sabbath to Sunday. It's not there in the scriptures. The Catholics and Protestants that we quoted earlier had it right when they admitted that the church on its own authority, Catholic Church, changed the day of worship from Sabbath to Sunday. And that's why the world has gone that direction. So let's not follow tradition. I don't think we're going to do that. But let's remember this today. Keep that hand out. If you ever have a doubt, if you ever have to look at something, remember that. Remember this. The sermon and think about it. Let's follow God. Let's look at what he has to say. The scriptures are the only source that we can look to. We know that we keep this day. The Sabbath is upheld in the Bible. So let's keep holy the seventh day Sabbath.